It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Glad you could be here as we're in conversation with an American track and field sprinter who hails from Rice Lake. Kenny Bednarik is here. Won silver medals in the 200-meter run in last year's World Championships and the 2020 Tokyo Olympics. Call in with your questions for a world-class sprinter and Nike professional athlete. The number is 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Kenny, welcome to the Ideas Network and welcome back to Wisconsin.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
You're starting this track season with some big goals for the World Championships in August and the 200 meter. Can you tell us about what you have your sights set on?
Last year I had a setback with my toe injury. So this year, yeah, I got big things coming my way. Trying to get the gold medal and along with that, just run some fast times. Goals of mine is to run 9.7 and 19.30 or faster in the 200 meters. So that's what I'm trying to look forward to this season.
Under 20 seconds.
Yes.
What goes through your head in under 20 seconds when you're out there in a race?
A perfect race of mine, I'm thinking about nothing. I mean, everything I've done up to that point, like preparation and routine, it's made sure that I'm in the shape and in the mindset to be able to run that fast. So once the gun goes off, I already know that mentally and physically I'm ready. So honestly, during the race, it's, just go. And I just let my body do the rest.
It's just your body responding in the moment, knowing what it knows how to do so well. You mentioned injury. How is training going?
Training this year it's been great. Like I said before, last year, I had a setback, so training-wise was a little bit different. So this year, finally getting the whole season, fall training into my body and spring training. So I'm feeling really good right now, and I can't wait to start sprinting.
Can you tell us about where you train? I imagine it's not on a Wisconsin snow-covered track, although
yeah. That
would be interesting. Maybe not for you.
Yeah, I'm in Florida, Orlando, Florida, basically. Train at an area that's close to there, actually, named Montverde Academy. So I'm there from Monday to Fridays, training from 9 to 2 in the afternoon. So, it's a long day, but we have to train so hard just to run, a couple seconds faster.
What is a typical day like for Kenny Bednarik? I mean, what does your day entail with that training?
Like I said before, wake up around 7:30, eat, and then get to practice about 9, and we start sprinting. Well, we do a little bit of warm up, and then we start sprinting around 10, and we pretty much get done with the sprinting around, I would say, 11:30, 12, depending on what exactly we're working on, and then we have weight room after that, so that's another hour and a half. So by then, I'm usually out by 1:30 to 2. And then I have other appointments like rehab, recovery, massage, just a lot of stuff that I'm trying to do on the outside to make me better and stronger. So most of the times I'm not done with everything. I don't get home until 4 or 5 o'clock every single day. And then by then I'm chilling.
I would imagine. Yes. What is your relationship like with your coach? I would think you have to have a lot of trust as you look at your day and what it entails.
Yeah, I mean, the trust between athlete and coach is very important, especially at this level. I didn't really know who he was in the beginning, so I guess my first year I was a little like, who is this dude? But we both got to know each other on a personal level, and when it comes to personal things and just track related stuff, I go to him and talk about it here and there, and he's helped me get better on and off the track as a person.
I'm going to reintroduce you here. What a pleasure talking with Kenny Bednarik about his path to becoming one of the most successful American sprinters. You can join in with your questions and insights on track and field, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Kenny, you and your twin brother were adopted as toddlers in Oklahoma, moved to Rice Lake as a kid. Can you talk about some of your favorite memories of your childhood here in Wisconsin?
We moved as young kids. I remember me and my brother getting in trouble a lot with my mom when we were walking around Rice Lake. We went to church. She kind of freaked out for a bit, but me and Ian had some good times just going to the library and just spending some time there, just watching some movies and playing some games. I guess they had a Xbox there at one point, and just fond memories of being with my friends and playing football at Rice Lake High School. That's one of the things I miss the most too, just playing football.
What made you leave football? Why did you navigate away from that sport that you loved?
I've always told everybody that football was my first love. But I kind of knew where I was headed when every single time I was playing football, I was like thinking about my legs. I get tackled by two or three people, I would just let them take me, because I'm always in my head, I was like, okay, I got a season coming up. I got to make sure I stay healthy. I don't want to miss out. So when I got to junior, senior year, I kind of already figured out which route I was going to go.
You were protecting your legs for track and field. It was on your mind.
Yes, exactly. Oh. Yeah, it was always on my mind. So, you know, when it comes to football, just injuries, you know, it's anything, freak accidents, ACL, anything can happen on the football field. But track and field is pretty much, you know, hamstrings and maybe calves or something like that. But all of that is, you can work on preventing stuff like that. Football, you can't, you can do all you want to do an off-season training to build your body to withstand the pounding, but there's always going to be freak accidents and, you know, anything can happen on that field. So just health-wise, it was a better decision to go to track instead of football.
How was your running nurtured in Rice Lake? What was that like?
I mean, I always had the love for sprinting. So when I came up to Rice Lake, it was just natural and I was pretty raw. And I remember my, when I was in middle school, I had my first high school coach, Coach Seceda. He made me compete against some of the high schoolers, just cause he was hearing that I was fast as a young kid. And in his head, he was always like, well, everybody's always saying these kids are fast, so let's see what he really got. And they brought me down, and I remember competing against some of them, and most of them I was beating, and then some others were a little bit ahead, but I was catching them. So by then they already knew that I had something good. And, you know, as soon as I went into high school, it was just focusing on that. I was doing a lot of good things in my freshman year, and then we decided to go to the USATF championships where we competed against kids all over the country.
I wonder, did you think you were fast then, or when did you realize your own potential? When did you gain that awareness?
I always knew I was fast because when I was in Oklahoma, before I came to Wisconsin, I was always the fastest kid in my class or the fastest kid in the school. And every single time I went to meets, I was always winning first or second. So by then, I already knew I was pretty quick, but I didn't realize how quick I was until I started competing against kids around the country. You know, I'm a kid from Wisconsin, and we're not really known for breeding, you know, pure sprinters. So you had me, a Wisconsin kid, versus, you know, kids from Texas and Florida and California, and I was competing with them. So at that point, I knew that I had something good. And, you know, I just wanted to get faster every single time I stepped on the track. So I always try to improve my craft every single time I went to practice, and, you know, the results showed for itself when I ended up running, you know, 20.43 my senior year and being the top ranked 200 meter sprinter for high school kids.
Wow. And every second taking that off, it's just so much work, as you say, to take even a second off. Let's take a call. Michael in Lake Geneva. Michael, hi.
Hi, good morning. Good morning. Kenny, congratulations on all your success, and I hope you have continued success, of course. And
no, thank you.
You're welcome. My question is, I have an eighth grader, a son who loves track, and just wanted some advice for younger athletes, both male and female, as far as training, what they can focus on as far as maybe strength training to enhance their sprinting capabilities?
They can work on Olympic lifts. You know, squatting is important, and all the things that are very explosive for the athlete is something that's very much needed. And that's all I can really say when it comes to the weight room. I'm not an expert at it, but I only know a little bit of a few things. But yeah, just Olympic lifts, things that require explosiveness is very important for them to be faster.
And certainly too, with middle schoolers, they're still developing so much, you know, physically and mentally. Is there something you can tell that young person? I mean, you were once there. What would you say to middle schoolers who might like track, but their friends aren't doing track?
Might like track, but their friends are doing track.
But they're not. Yeah, their friends are doing a different sport.
Well, with me, I just kept bugging my friends to get in eventually. So it eventually worked. I got some of them to come in their senior year or their junior year, but. I mean, it's not for everybody, but I mean, all they can do is just, you know, tell their friends, what makes it fun. And I don't know, like, I'll just keep bugging them. Eventually they'll do it.
Kenny Bednarik grew up in Rice Lake, is a professional sprinter. We're hearing life lessons from an Olympic medalist and what comes next. Call in with your questions, your comments, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We focus on track and field with insights on breaking new ground in the 200-meter distance and learning about Olympic medalist Kenny Bednarik's headspace in preparing and executing for these races. Kenny makes the Rice Lake community proud. Join in with your questions for a professional sprinter. What do you want to share with this caliber of athlete? 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Kenny, looking back to community college, you spent a year at an Iowa community college without the support and resources necessarily that an NCAA athlete receives. What is your advice for junior college athletes with dreams to reach that national and world stage in their sports?
Hello?
Yes, can you hear us? Hey, Kenny, can you hear us?
I can hear you now.
Oh, good, good, good. Yeah, I wanted to just talk about your community college experience that differs from those athletes who have that NCAA athlete treatment and community college athletes who aspire to get there when they don't have those resources. What would you say?
They just got to keep grinding and listen to what their coaches say. When I went to the junior college system, I was ashamed in the beginning, but I eventually just embraced it and I made sure to do everything within my power to get out of there and go to, you know, pro division or at least go to the NCAA division. And like you were saying before, equipment-wise, staff-wise, it's night and day compared to the NCAA and the junior college system, because I remember going on, you know, NCAA trips for just to see, recruitment trips just to see where I might end up going, and they have everything. So when I went to the junior college system, I was like, wow, you know, we don't have much here, but I had to make do with it, and I just had to change my mindset. If I wanted to get out there as soon as possible and improve myself, you know, I couldn't be staying up late. I had to make a bunch of sacrifices. Friends are going out late and I had to stay at home and, you know, sleep and go to bed at the right time just so I can get up in the morning, go to practice and then go to class. You just got to change your whole mindset in order to, you know, aspire to do bigger things, and you got to be very disciplined.
When you say you were ashamed at the beginning, what stigma did you have to break through? What did you have to change within yourself as well?
I mean, I was ashamed just because I know a lot of kids think that people that go to the junior college system are dumb. So I just had to make sure, like, hey, I just made a few mistakes and I just had to get that out of my thought. Like, you know, I'm not dumb. I just made a few mistakes in high school and I'm about to right my wrongs and, you know, prove everybody wrong. Because I know some people thought once I went to the junior college route, I was probably going to fizzle out because a lot of kids end up doing that. And I didn't want to just be one of those guys that was forgotten, you know, hey, what happened to him kind of thing. So I just made sure just to, you know, break that cycle and get out of there.
Maybe that route made you stronger in some respects.
Yeah, it's definitely like the journey of becoming a pro. I think I would have made it, but I just made the route 10 times harder. You know, going through the junior college system instead of going through the NCAA, it definitely wouldn't have been an easier route, but, you know, I'm still here and I ended up getting at this route anyways.
Can you talk about becoming a professional athlete by signing with a, you know, footwear giant Nike in 2019? How does that contract support what you're able to do in your training?
When I signed, I didn't really know what was going to happen, you know, small kid from a small town. So as soon as I signed, Nike basically has a few coaches around the country, and I didn't really know any of them because I was learning track myself. Like, I was good at track, but I didn't really know, you know, the people at the pro side. So I was learning as soon as I became a professional athlete, and they ended up sending me here to Florida with the coach that's here. And, you know, I had, you know, they gave me my base salary just to support myself, and I had to figure everything out. I had to figure out how to, you know, find my own support team and make sure that I have all the right people in my circle in order for me to, you know, flourish in the sport. A lot of the athletes that end up going pro, like I said, discipline is important. So if they're not disciplined enough, they just like to spend their money on, you know, nonsense, and they don't really get massage therapy done or all the extra stuff that they need to recover, and they end up fizzling out. There's so many athletes that are at this level that used to be good, and they just fizzled out just because they weren't disciplined enough.
How stressful is running as your main income stream? I mean, so much is relying on that.
Yeah, it's a little different. I try not to think too much about it. When we're in high school and college, we're just running for fun and we're not thinking about money. So I try to keep my mindset like that. I mean, I know I'm going to be always in the finals. I know I'm always going to be fast. So I'm not trying to really worry about the money side. If I just focus on just training and having fun, the money's going to come. So I just keep it simple for me.
We have Olympic silver medalist Kenny Bednarik about his life as a professional sprinter. Hails from Rice Lake. You can call in at 800-642-1234. I've been appreciating your tweets about life advice and mental health. How do you stay mentally fit as an athlete? And I wonder if you follow your own advice on mental health.
I have a mental coach, so he's been helping me out with just writing in my journal and, you know, just getting through practice and just daily life. I think it's just very important to make sure that your mental is on point, especially as, you know, just as a regular human being and an athlete. You know, you're not going to be able to function correctly if you're having all these mental issues. And I mean, when it comes to the pro side, you know, mental health is important. There's a lot of stress, a lot of people that are going to be in your ear. Like I said, it was just very important for me to get that right, because I can run as fast as I want at practice, but if I'm not mentally right, my body's not going to do what I tell it to do when the gun goes off.
How do you stay in your own head and not care too much about all of the noise and the chatter about what others are saying around you?
Once the season starts, I'm pretty much off of social media. I mean, I'm on it a little bit, but I'm not on it as much, just so I don't get carried away with seeing comparisons and people talking on Twitter here and there, like, hey, I think this person's going to win, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, once we hit Olympics or Olympic trials or world champ trials, I'm off of it completely. So I can just solely focus on the task at hand.
You're in the Kenny zone.
Yeah, I'm in the zone. So, you know, I don't want any outside disturbances. Sometimes my mom here there has sent me something like, hey, this is what I've seen. I'm like, mom, you should know better not to send that. So, but yeah, I just make sure to just keep the circle small and not let the outside noise, you know, burst my bubble when I'm trying to get in that zone.
We only have a couple seconds left. Do you think about your legacy as a track and field runner?
Oh yeah, for sure. I'm thinking about every day. you know, when it's all said and done, I want to be the best to ever do it. I want to give back to the junior college community and just the track community. So, you know, in 10 plus years, however long I'm going to be in the sport, I want to make sure that people know who I am and what I did for the sport.
Kenny, thank you for joining us. All the best to you.
All right, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Kenny Bednarik, grew up in Rice Lake, professional sprinter. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.